Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And as Central Minnesota is still on lockdown and practicing social distancing because of the COVID-19 outbreak, there are many challenges affecting the lives of pretty much everyone, especially those of us with school-aged children. So in today's Untold Story of Central Minnesota, we're going to talk with St. Cloud School District science teacher Devin Bowker. Before the outbreak and when the schools were shut down out of safety, Devin taught at Roosevelt and had built for himself an online following with his blog, The Wildlife, which you can find at thewildlife.blog or link to off of our website at any time, kvsc.org, and the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the page for this story. So today we're going to talk about his blog and how it ties into distance learning and could just be a nice resource for families, as well as the different challenges faced by families and teachers with distance learning and how to go about it if your child or a child you know falls under what would be considered to be special ed, because this presents a different challenge all of its own. But first, we'll talk with Devin Bowker about his blog as well as the indirect journey that has taken him from St. Cloud State University to the Army and beyond, and then back to St. Cloud. So, Devin, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, and how about we start off with you telling your story about how you got here?
Yeah, okay. I teach in St. Cloud at Roosevelt Education Center, so it's one of the, alternative locations. But I do high school physics, geometry, and biology. So kind of a host of stuff there. Outside of that, I do like hikes. I lead hikes and things in the community. But I have a podcast as well called The Wildlife. Started a few years ago, and it slowly evolved into a now weekly thing. It's kind of the way that I look at it is sort of like a naturalist program, but in audio, or like flipping the script on, you know, things that people think that they know, you know, animals that they think that they know that are, you know, that are close to people's hearts, but then kind of telling the other side of the story and that kind of stuff. That's kind of where the hikes and things from, that all comes from my original undergrad in wildlife biology.
Nice.
And after I did that, I worked for the DNR, Army Corps of Engineers. I did some wolf conservation work for a few years before returning back to school to get my teaching license, and I've been doing that since.
Nice. Oh, that's really cool. Just wound up back in education then, so that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, and you've got quite a few of these that are up already. What is it, about like 48 of them or so I saw?
Yeah, we're putting out episode 49 this Friday, and it's kind of something a little bit different where it was actually kind of funny. So originally when we started the podcast, the whole idea was sort of to be like we would answer listener submitted questions. Well, when you first start a podcast, you don't have any listeners. so we really quickly were like, well, okay, we don't have a whole lot to go on, so let's just start a list. And so we created this list of topics. Right now we've got about 2 years worth of topics listed out in a Google spreadsheet.
Oh, wow.
And we're just kind of going through. Well, we're finally at the point where we do have a listener base and things. And we put out an episode that was already a little bit different compared to what we normally do. We spoke to her name's Karina Newsom. Her Twitter handle's Hood Naturalist. She's a black female zookeeper, wildlife biologist. She studies sparrows, but she's really big in the SciComm community. And we just had a conversation and we uploaded it. Not you know, focused on a specific species or anything like that. And it went really well. And then one of our listeners kind of just tongue-in-cheek messaged and said, you know, I'm patiently waiting for your invitation to be on the show. And I said, okay, why not? And so we sat down and had a conversation. you know, just about the things that she's interested in nature, and her perspective on, you know, the outdoors, and some of the things that we've talked about in the show in the past, kind of to get that side. And so that's going to be out on Friday. And then we have our 50th episode after, which we're going to have a couple big announcements with. So really looking forward to that.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, you know, I bet in some ways, you know, even though everybody is, you know, staying at home and, you know, doing the distance learning, I still bet that a lot of folks, you know, especially the kids, they're getting outside and they're starting to explore a little bit more. Is that something that you've kind of run into?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even myself, you know, I feel like I see a lot, and I like there's a lot of things that I've seen, a lot of bugs and birds and all that kind of stuff. But even lately, you know, just outside doing yard work and stuff, I'm seeing things that I haven't quite seen before. And watching my son, he turns four tomorrow, kind of doing some of that discovery himself. And I mean, just in general, you go outside and there's people everywhere. And so it's kind of like, you know, looking for the positive moments that you can in all of this. And that's one of them. It's like, well, I mean, people are getting outside and they're discovering and kind of getting back to that, you know, that childlike exploration and wonder. And it's kind of cool to see.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm catching a little bit of it here and there too. One, you know, it's like I live in St. Cloud and I live kind of close to Hester Park. So I'm seeing a lot of people walk around there. But then two, just this morning, you know, I wake up and I kind of clock in with the school district. I check my email. I send a bunch of emails. I do the obligatory wait for 10 minutes to see if anybody gets right back to me. And then, you know, if it's really important, people have my phone number, but, you know, there's some emails that are just out there. And so I take my dog to the dog park, you know, go up to Whitney and, you know, he's sitting on a picnic table. And then I see, obviously a high school kid, probably maybe like a sophomore or a junior or something. And he's on, you know, one of these new like scooter things that, you know, there's kind of motorized and he's pushing a stroller with it looks like his two little, like much younger sisters. And they're probably about like five, you know, they could almost be twins. And they're in this little scooter and he's zipping along the sidewalk with them and they're just chatting about stuff and looking at stuff. And, you know, my dog barks at him a little bit and they all laugh and talk about dogs. And I kind of realize it's like, you know, this is a different kind of recess. This is, I mean, I don't know what these kids got going on for their day, but, you know, this is brother and siblings. They're having a moment, and then they did a lap and then went home. So
even outside of the weirdness that is now, you know, I'm always trying to convince especially younger people that get into birding, which I mean, this is never something that I was into growing up. In fact, it's kind of funny. I hated birds as a kid and now I really like them, but you know, I'm always like, I mean, it's basically Pokemon Go. It's exactly the same thing actually, except these are real Pokemon. In fact, not just real Pokemon, but they're dinosaurs. So that's even the cooler part. So that's always my pitch to people.
Nice. So, you know, that's kind of the nature of, I guess, your podcast and just, well, science in general, you know, especially when you're making it for kids. There is that kind of that wonder and being like, guess what? This comes from this other thing. And that's kind of neat, don't you think? You know, it's that kind of vibe. And, you know, how is that translating into distance learning, or what have you noticed with that?
I see what you mean. So, I mean, I used to, like, when I worked for the DNR and I worked for the Army Corps, that was as like a naturalist or a park ranger, and you do a lot of educational programs. That was always kind of the thing that I got really excited about doing, was that interacting with public and teaching about, you know, the area and the nature and the wildlife, and really kind of the thing that nudged me into teaching. And the thing about that as compared to teaching that is now starting to kind of manifest itself in the same way is when you're a naturalist, your audience is not captive. They can walk away whenever they want. They don't have to stay there. They're not in the classroom. They can come up, they can stay for 5 minutes, or they can stay the whole time. They can join you on a 2-mile hike, or they can give up 100 feet in. So you have to come up with ways of reeling people in and being engaging and finding connections to the personal life and finding something that they're passionate about. And really, really taking things that like everyone has noticed, but putting a spin on it. So, you know, taking things that people already have a sense of familiarity with, but then you're like making them question how familiar they are as a hook to get them kind of going, okay, well, something else is going on here. Well, what else is going on? Well, what's the answer? And wanting to stay around for it. And in the podcast realm, it's very much the same thing. I mean, no one has to listen, and you can only hope that you can come up with a topic that's interesting enough that people will click play and listen all the way through and then maybe keep on listening. So, you know, doing things on like the air we breathe or animal magnetism or, you know, really a bunch of different stuff. I mean, we're at 49 different topics at this point, but, in teaching, you know, your audience is captive, but their attention span isn't necessarily. So there's still an element of that where you have to, you kind of have to be, in it with them. I feel like, yeah. And, you know, you have to be in that excitement, in that discovery with them, to really keep them with it and to keep them engaged. And now in this realm of distance learning, well, your audience isn't captive. It's kind of going right back to where, you know, I was at the beginning where now it's about, can you get them to sign on? Okay, well, you've gotten them to sign on. Now, how can I keep them for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Now, how can I keep them for 10 minutes? Now, how can I get them to join a Google Meet or a Schoology conference and listen to today's content? And so it's been a lot of the same kind of stuff about just finding different ways of pitching the core content. And as an example, I mean, we're talking about light and physics right now. I did my second ever TikTok today as a peacock mantis shrimp dancing and doing some stuff with facts about those and talking about their visual perception because they have 12 photoreceptors and can see almost more than anything in the animal kingdom technically, but they also have tiny brains and can't actually pick up on the difference. And, you know, things in bio where we're looking at stuff about whales and it's very much of that whole, you know, what was once guaranteed is no longer guaranteed. And how can you get them excited enough to stick around?
It's like storytelling, basically. You kind of want
to, you
want to lead them along in a way.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, that's kind of like when you started talking about it, I started thinking about the TV show Cosmos. And there was an episode where Neil deGrasse Tyson was talking about how there's no longer any leaded gas. And, you know, you get to thinking, it's like, well, gee, after you've seen the episode, you're like, why did we have lead in the gas to begin with? But, you know, that's a whole other topic. But when he's talking about this process, this thing that happened, this long drawn out thing that happened about these scientists are looking for something completely different. And then they're realizing, oh, my gosh, there's lead everywhere. This is not good. And the step-by-step process of the discovery, and, you know, this was science too. It was in the storytelling of it. And that just, you know, it kept my attention. I mean, I was definitely looking to have my attention kept, but, you know, it is like that. It is that attention, and, you know, you kind of sneak in the learning where it is, I guess you could say.
Exactly.
Nice. You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're talking with science teacher Devin Bowker from the St. Cloud School District about his science blog and some of the challenges with distance learning that I imagine every parent is experiencing right now. So as we get back into it, we talk about some of those challenges and what you can do about it. So what are some tips you might have for folks that are maybe struggling with distance learning or would like to enhance it for like their kids or students?
Yeah, you know, this is tough. You know, it's tough. It's not something that anybody expected, or, well, I mean, may have expected as things started to kind of evolve in the news and around the globe. But just, you know, in terms of your career, you know, not something that you plan for.
Yeah.
It's not something you're trained on. Teachers are trying pretty hard. You know, students are trying, parents are trying. I think everybody's trying, and there's a lot of factors. You know, there's a lot of stuff that contributes to, you know, how successful students are going to be at it or teachers. So I think there's an element of giving yourself some grace and understanding that this is tough and this is weird and everybody's struggling, you know, across the board. And it's not just like, it's not you're doing something wrong and you need to do something better necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just part of the situation. You know, everything in teaching is about relationship building, and that's such a cliche thing to say, but it really and truly is. Everything is about relationship building. And I think the hardest part about distance learning is it's kind of hard to do from a distance.
Yeah.
And everything becomes much more focused on like, okay, well, here's the lesson, here's the content. Can I make sure that you sign on to do the lesson and the content and work out any, you know, issues there? That relationship piece and that being able to have discussion and bond and stuff, that's hard to do. And so if anything I had, it would be to really first and foremost focus on that, you know, making sure that people are okay, making sure that people have connection, making sure that you are, you know, taking that time to not just say, okay, well, now I have you, let's jump straight into the content before I lose your attention. You know, taking that time to talk and to check in and be genuine and be real, because that's what kids are looking for and that's what they need. And once you do that, everything else is easier, tremendously. Keeping their attention is easier. Finding, you know, you can't make somebody passionate about something just because you're passionate about it. It helps, but you need them to be there in order to figure out what they are passionate about so that you can then use that passion, not your passion, their passion, to keep them around. And if you're not starting with that relationship piece, you're never going to figure out what their passion is.
Yeah. And then they just never engage. And then there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So have you found that, and I have found this, but I have found that there are a lot of kids that they really miss being in the school building. Is this something that you're kind of running into as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I miss my classroom. Like, I guess kind of nice in a way to be at home, but like, you know, school really does become your home away from home, and your coworkers and the students really kind of feel like, you know, there's a bond there. It's like, you know, your coworkers, you know, there's a school family idea. And so I definitely get it. And I know, I hear from a lot of students who are, you know, they just miss being in class. And I joke with them about it because I'm like, you know, a month ago, would you have ever said that? And nope.
Yep.
Absolutely not. But it's kind of one of those, you don't know what you got till it's gone kind of things. And it makes people realize they're like, oh, actually, it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. I actually do enjoy being with, you know, I think an element of it is being with peers. For sure.
Yep.
You know, you miss that peer connection. You miss not being nagged by your parents. You miss not having to hang out with your siblings all day. And so, I mean, there's a lot of other non-school related pieces to it, but
yep.
I am absolutely hearing that. Yeah.
Mm, yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I have students who, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one meetings. And that's another thing that I found has been tremendously helpful in getting success rates and grades up and engagement up, is to be able to host one-on-one times or even to small groups to walk through assignments. And, you know, I'll sometimes have people who join and really don't want to do the assignment necessarily, but absolutely want to join to just talk. And so, yeah, that's definitely a thing.
So it sounds like KVSC staff meetings, to tell you the truth. We have meetings once a week just to go over things, and you know, people are joining, but it's part of just it's connecting. You know, we got like 15 people on a meeting, and you know, everybody's doing their thing. Like I just kind of put my camera on my dog, and then you know, everybody it's there's that element, and yeah, I think everybody misses that. I think we're discovering things about humans and you know the human race and the human psychology that you know maybe were hinted at before, but nowadays it's like oh no, this is important, just contact. We're learning.
It's even to see at least on my end of you know on the social networks and things that I'm on, I've seen a difference in how it's used. And it's been really interesting to watch the different ways that people are engaging with social media and like this, you know, this boom of Zoom and all the Zoom calls and like how suddenly, you know, the way that people are wanting to connect, you know, they're using the same things, but everything seems much more meaningful or personal. And it's, you know, it's different. It's just a different way of engaging. And it's kind of neat to see because I think that's, you know, long been a need, but it took a crisis with horrible consequences to kind of reveal that and to nudge people in that direction of figuring out how to do it the right way.
Absolutely. So what are some of the other challenges you've run into with, you know, like the distance learning and especially, you know, with special ed? Because that is definitely something that everybody's being mindful of. We're you know, we talk a lot about, the students, but there is a population of students that, you know, we're all trying to look out for, if you will. What have some of your experiences been with that?
Well, I mean, I think in general in education, I mean, differentiation, finding things that meet individual needs and stuff is always kind of, you know, something that's at the forefront. And when you're in a larger setting, it's a little more difficult to do, without a doubt. You know, if you've got 40 kids in one class, it's hard. It's really hard to find the time, and the resources to be able to come up with individual things. I'm fortunate in the sense that, you know, I've got class sizes of 8, you know, for kind of on the high end. And, you know, I've got a similar amount on a caseload, and we've got, you know, roughly 30 students. So we've got a small community. But yes, there's that need to, you know, I mean, IEP stands for individual education plan. You know, there's an individual plan for each student. And, you know, making sure that you're meeting all of those needs and making sure that you're providing supplementation and making sure that you are meeting a variety of ability levels and interests. And it's a lot of work, for sure. I mean, it's not something where you can just take, you know, one thing and put it up and say, okay, this is what everybody's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You just can't do that. And so, you know, when you've planned, I mean, I was in a position myself where I don't know how I managed it, but I did end up planning for the rest of the year for all three of my classes. And then when all this changed, then it was, okay, well, now I need to convert everything into, you know, electronic formats, but also some non-electronic formats, and find ways to do that in a way that is still individualized and differentiated and varied. And with choice, and it's been a challenge to do so, for sure. Technology is a major enabler of doing that, though. I really love websites like Nearpod. You know, Schoology has the ability to do, you know, a lot of different things, but you know, if people are really good at typing discussion but not so good at talking, that's on there. If they're really good at talking and verbalizing, well, you can use Flipgrid and do, you know, video messages and stuff. And so there's a lot that technology makes possible. And so in a way, you know, going to online learning, it's kind of pushing to be able to say, wow, okay, look at this, and this. I can pull all of these together, and suddenly they have all these options that meet different accessibility needs. And is kind of cool.
Neat. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just kind of finding what's going to work best for the individual student and then getting them to log in. So that's a whole other story. So
yeah. The login thing is hard, but I mean, it is in a way, I hesitate to say things like it's a gift and stuff because I mean, it is a global pandemic and it's not a good situation by any means, but there are elements of positivity that have come out. And I would say one of them in switching to online learning is, whereas in the day, you know, there is in the building, there's a lot of stuff going on and chaos, and there still is now, but it does provide the opportunity to sort of scale back, you know, to zoom out a little bit and look at bigger picture things and take that time to find more individual stuff and meet with someone one-on-one without so many distractions and come up with plans. So that has been a gift.
Nice. Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, if folks are looking for your blogs and everything, how would they go about getting a hold of you?
Yeah. We have a website. It's thewildlife.blog. Otherwise, our podcast, I always feel cheesy saying this, but it's available wherever you get your podcast. Quite literally. It's The Wild Life. It's all individual words, The Wild Life. So it's kind of punny there, but it's everywhere, and we have episodes that come out every Friday. We are also on social media and stuff. Instagram and Twitter are the ones that we use the most, and Twitter's The Wildlife Pod or Dev the Nature Guy for me, and then Instagram is thewildlife.blog or Devin the Nature Guy because it had more character.
Yeah, totally. Well, right on. Well, thanks for chatting with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And we've been talking with St. Cloud School District science teacher Devin Bowker here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. You can find his blog, thewildlife.blog, by typing that in to your computer or by going to kvsc.org. And finding the podcasts in Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the page to this story, where there will be a link. And on his website, you can find all of his archived works, plus an option to Skype a science teacher, join the Wildlife Book Club, become a wildlife ambassador, and also look into buying merchandise, including science art and clothing. For distance learning resources, you may already have access to them, but if not, you can find it online at isd742.org and then look around on the homepage for distance learning instructions in English, Spanish, and Somali. You'll also find on that homepage updated news and blog entries from 742 staff, links to the bus meal delivery schedule for free food for all the kiddos during school days, as well as a plethora of links to other activities and videos made by students and staff from St. Cloud Schools. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, reminding you to be the difference you wish to see in the world. And when it comes to education, you truly can make a difference way into the future with what you do today. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.